Madam Secretary, may I proceed?
Yes, please go ahead.
All right. Continue. Thank you.
Excellent. Good morning, President Pauley, members of the board. I'm here to present the first construction award for the Paris North Basin Groundwater Program. This is a set of pipelines in Moreno Valley. So the location, as noted, is in the city of Moreno Valley. This particular location is highlighted in the red circle. It is the streets impacted are Sweetgrass Drive, Flaming Arrow Drive, and Bay Avenue. The scope is to install approximately 800 feet of 18-inch diameter PVC, 400 feet of fusible 18-inch PVC, where we are closer to some of the other domestic water lines, and 20 feet of 8-inch. The project includes traffic control, the CEQA survey, geotechnical, and engineering services during construction. So the background, this particular project, and I will get to a little bit more detail later, is being forwarded in advance to coincide with the construction of a City of Moreno Valley storm drain project. Staff identified the coordination issue recently. The city's project had actually been delayed a year, so they went out to bid much later than we had anticipated based on early conversations. So we accelerated this portion of the project in order to coincide and limit the impact to these residents. As noted, the coordination, we launched this to coincide, you know, kind of a one-in for the residents, because nothing the public loves more than brand new pavement being laid down and another agency coming, tearing it up right afterwards. And then additionally, we were able to facilitate some cost savings on the pavement rehabilitation by combining the two projects together. Our bid summary. We had a lowest responsive bidder from Curtley Construction doing business as TK Construction, an amount of $734,050. The other bids you can see there are listed. All bids were over the engineer's estimate of $521,325. Staff launched into an effort with phone calls with the bottom two bidders to verify that the scopes were met, where the engineer's estimate was in difference from the contractor's bid. Looks like where we're finding is that it's on the fusible PVC costs. It's a very specialized process where they, instead of gluing the joints or pushing the joints together, they actually have a machine that wraps it and melts the PVC together to create a continuous sleeve. Through those discussions, all items are covered in the scope. The bids are solid. So we completed that review to everyone's satisfaction. Our schedule, we're looking to start this immediately after award here in April, looking to complete by August. Total contract duration is 90 days. And this is a photo looking down Sweetgrass. So our recommendation today is to approve and authorize the execution of a contract with TK Construction in the amount of $734,050, an additional appropriation of $1,091,429, bringing the total estimated program cost to nearly $30.1 million. And I'd be happy to answer any questions the board may have.
Just on, not being an engineer, but on the engineer's estimate, do you think going forward these costs are we're going to see that in the same type of piping? Or?
There's an interesting phenomenon happening in the market right now. We're seeing fairly large increases in material costs. The steel manufacturers have released a bulletin. We're seeing those prices heading in the way that we saw in the mid-2000s, you know, the 2005, 2006, when steel prices were escalating rapidly. Due to some of the hurricanes and the freezing that we had in Texas, PVC resins are in short order. So those manufacturers are delayed in receiving things. So we've been notified of price increases there. Even more detailed than that, our coatings that we do, our tank recoats, the epoxies are also in short supply from the disruptions in the supply chain. So we may see some of those. We're trying to take those into account as we get notified and working with our engineers to make sure that we're bringing the engineers' estimates together and also keeping in contact with the industry. So I do suspect we will see some of these misses here and there, but we're working internally to make sure that they're not.
Very good. Thank you. Director Record, do you have any questions?
No questions. Thank you.
Any other questions from board members? I appreciate you reading the item since I failed to do that. So since he read the item into the record, I'll look for a motion and a second on this particular issue.
I'd move approval.
I'll second.
Moved by Director Slauson, second by Director Armstrong. Could I get a roll call, please?
Director Pauley?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
And the item passes 4-0 with Director Corona absent. That will take us to item 5 on our agenda, which is informational items and presentations. The first one being General Manager's proposed transition activities. The Executive Committee asked Mr. Jones, who, as all we know, is retiring, but staying on at the district, I believe, through August, if I'm correct. And we asked him to put together some items that he would like to work on, specifically items that he had been involved with in the past that might be a little challenging to a new general manager taking over the district. So I wanted to give him the chance to discuss with the board those transition items. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, President Pauley. Good morning, once again, members of the board. This item, as President Pauley noted, was put together at the request of the Executive Committee. Just a little bit of background. The Fourth Amendment to the General Manager's My Employment Agreement was approved September 2nd, 2020. And really, at that point in time, the board and I collaborated on a transition period that complemented and processed to complement the recruitment of the new general manager. So the key provisions of that included the terms and conditions for the remaining term of service through August 31st, 2021, and also to provide the board flexibility for the recruitment schedule and the selection process. Specifically, the goal the board articulated at that time was not to name an interim general manager and for me to set a specific retirement date, but to have an overlap period, and also such that my last day in the office could then coincide to the new general manager immediately starting thereafter. Also, the provisions provide that I would be, once the new general manager is put in place, provide remote support, training, assistance to the general manager, also provide support to the board as requested and approved by the general manager. And as I mentioned, to ensure that seamless management transition, just as a point of history, every general manager and general manager that the district has selected has had a transition period, an overlapping transition period. However, mine will be a little bit shorter than the previous ones, but I believe it'll be very effective and provide that support and the support for the transition items that I will speak about in a moment. So the executive committee requested the development of that transition activity list. Again, this is in addition to providing the new general manager direct as needed support at his or her request, but to really kind of function in these projects that I'll talk about as a senior advisor or consultant to the district, provide some institutional knowledge or expertise that I've had. And really, this list was put together and developed in consultation with the executive management team and would be subject to refinement by the new general manager when that person is named. So this was reviewed by the executive committee on March 18th. I appreciate the feedback that received. And let me just go through the list of activities, which is, again, provided on the next couple of slides. So first is the MWD rate refinement process. This is to provide some expertise and technical support on potential changes to MET's rate structure. MET is looking at the first potential revamp of its rate structure for 20 years. I was involved actually in the 1999 to 2001 process on a work group. And so I'd be supporting not only staff on this, but Director Record as and be a technical resource for that purpose. On the director's division boundary, this is something that's going to be coming up this summer. This would be able to provide, again, some expertise and support on that for the board and the staff that's working on that. Low-income rate assistance legislation, there's a current bill in the legislature right now, SB 222 by Dodd, to look at low-income rate assistance program to be administered on a statewide basis. I have quite a bit of expertise in LIRA and LIRA-related programs and state policies, so I'd be supporting Daniel Coates and the state resource group on that. Failing water system legislation and policy, this was the state continues to implement the SAFER program for basically distributing the $130 million per year to failing water systems, and also we've been involved in failing water system legislation, so it's to continue to provide some technical expertise and support in those areas. On some individual projects, the Santa Ana River Conservation and Conjunctive Use Program, we're very fortunate to have cleared the hurdle of our agreements and authorization from MET for our agreements for the acquisition of water supply for that program, in our agreement with MODOC address that issue as well. But really the next significant step is the interagency agreement between the five SARCUP agencies to operate this very complex multi-agency, multiple-site water banking facility. We're going to need to have a process in place to decide when water is collectively purchased, which sites it will be stored in, when it's extracted, and how to do the financial reconciliation. So that agreement will be something that is going to be, a big hurdle to put together, and I would provide support there as needed. On water and sewer system consolidations, again, there are a number of discussions ongoing right now. I have experience with five consolidations, one here and four with Irvine Ranch, and so I would be providing technical expertise there. On the Bureau of Reclamation Title 16 reform, as I mentioned earlier, Senator Feinstein has introduced the STREAM Act. It's not clear whether that's going to completely go forward, and if so, if the provisions for Title 16 would be included in that. But I was involved in the preparation of those provisions and would continue to support Jolene in that area. And then water and wastewater customer affordability research is something I worked on with UC Riverside and with Jolene. We are looking now at additional research with UC Riverside, and I would support that on an as-needed basis. So, again, these items would be coordinated with and directed by the new general manager. The list is subject to refinement, obviously. But I, at the executive committee's request, that would be good to bring this in front of the board and provide that. Again, information item, happy to answer any questions.
Any questions, Director Record?
No, excuse me, I think that's pretty thorough. It looks good, thanks.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a lot to work on, but I'm glad that you're willing to do it. I would just ask that periodically you pay us a visit and give us an update on some of those items.
If the new general manager wants me to, occasionally I will do that.
I'm sure the board and the board president will want you to come just to say hi every so often, but I would like to get some updates on those items. Okay. So. Very good. Thank you very much for providing that for us.
My pleasure. Thank
you. We will move on to item B, which is the customer information billing project update. Howell, you're going to give us.
Yeah, so Charles and I are pleased to give another update here on our CIS project implementation. Wait for that slide deck to open up. There we go. Okay. So just by way of background, as you know, there are three primary components to this effort. We are rounding third and headed to home here on the bulk of this work. Those three components are the customer information system itself, the core, the engine of the application, our customer self-service portal, which we partially launched back in January, and that's received some good success. And then a piece for our field staff, the mobile work management piece, is also being implemented as part of this. And Charles is actually going to provide a demonstration of some of that functionality here this morning. So with regard to schedule, as I mentioned, we are nearing the end here. We have a few key remaining tasks. We're underway with the initial part of training for our staff, and those final documents are being prepared, and we'll be kicking that off in earnest here shortly. We're in the second of three test cycles, integration testing. We're in ITC2, as they call it, currently. And we've adjusted the go-live window some. In the past month, we've probably slipped about 11 known days from our previous schedule of May 31st. Reality is, as I think we mentioned last meeting, we're not going to push the button on go live until the items are delivered and delivered complete and working properly. So we're estimating we're going to go live between the end of May and some point in July of this year, but that is entirely achievable, and things are looking good on that front. And then following the go-live, there will be 4 months of post-go-live support, so we'll have the consultants and the vendor and so forth readily available to address post-implementation items as they arrive. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Charles, who will go through some more of the details of the project and then as well as provide that demonstration of the mobile work management piece. Okay.
Very good, Charles. Good morning.
Thank you, Dan. Good morning, President Pauly, members of the board. So we'll move on and talk a little bit about some recent progress that we've made since the last update that we provided to the board. So the team completed integration test cycle one, and as Dan mentioned, it's commonly referred to as ITC1. And at the conclusion of that phase, we reported an 87% pass rate on the test cases that were that were executed. Now, this is important because it definitely does set up success for the subsequent phases that we'll be testing, so ITC2 and ITC3. And the one thing that we learned from our vendor and the system vendor and our project management consultant is typically the first phase projects see about a 70% pass rate. So we were really excited to see that our project had an 87% pass rate. Excuse me. The next thing the team worked on was to execute the first of two mock go lives. And simply put, this is a list of activities that need to be completed during the go-live. So we wanted to make sure that we walked through each and every one of those items to identify any potential issues that we can address, well ahead of the actual go-live weekend. From a training and change management perspective, those folks conducted live system demos for our end users to get them excited, seeing the system early. And then finally, we approved the build-to-build comparison plan. And what this is basically is we have a plan to generate bills out of our current billing system, Coins, and we'll do the same out of the new billing system, Kayenta, and we just want to make sure that we can compare those two for accuracy, obviously, prior to go live. Moving on to Project QA, as we've discussed in previous reports, we consulted with a third-party firm called Plamoran, and their goal is to assess the progress of our billing system replacement project. Now, they do this on a monthly basis by attending project meetings, interviewing project staff, as well as reviewing the various project assets, such as the schedule, the budget, the deliverable list to ensure that things are moving along as expected. Once they're done with the evaluation, they rate their findings using the key that's listed here that you're all familiar with. So looking at the last report that was published towards the tail end of March, I'm sure everybody's attention has already gone to it, the two areas that were called out were the project schedule, and project staffing and resource management, and I'll be addressing that on the next slide here. So from a schedule perspective, as Dan mentioned, we did extend that ITC1 phase by roughly about 11 days. And the key driver for that, we wanted to ensure that the outstanding system defects and deliverables were fully addressed. As Dan mentioned, we do not want to compromise on quality. So that was a key driver for us to make that decision. And so once those defects and deliverables were completed, we were able to successfully begin integration test cycle two. From a staffing and resource management perspective, what we're learning is, at this particular juncture of the project, things do tend to get a bit challenging. As Dan mentioned, we're running third, headed for home base, and we see the light at the end of the tunnel, though there's still quite a bit of work to be done. So what we're doing to address that is both on the EMWD side and the system vendor, we're bringing in additional resources where needed to address some of those challenges that staff may be experiencing. So before I move on to the project budget, it's the next slide, I wanted to take a pause and see if there are any specific questions to these two items.
No, you just said that you brought in additional resources from the vendor and from internally?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Is that why the vendor relationship is trending away, because they just needed more resources to come in?
That's part of it, yes. And again, you know, things do get a bit challenging at this particular phase of the project, and as you can imagine, there's various discussions that are going on. So I wouldn't say that things get contentious, but, you know, people are working hard. So we're keeping a close eye on that, and we believe bringing in additional resources will alleviate some of that stress and help this thing move along. Okay.
And before you go that, yes, you know, the other thing and the other highlighted area was the schedule. Bear in mind, the project started how many months ago, Charles?
The implementation was July 2019.
And we're barely a couple months off schedule. So it appears red, given the magnitude and complexity of this project, the change over the entire bill system, everything we're doing in terms of the other software applications, and the schedule constraint or the schedule impact has been very, very minimal. So I don't want to – that chart tends to show this big red sign there. It really is. And as Charles point out, some of the vendor relations are because we're working the vendors extremely hard to meet the schedule and to meet our revised schedule. And people get a little chippy at the end of a project, and they blame one another and so forth. And Charles in particular and Dan are doing an excellent job managing those vendor relationships as we get kind of down to the go live date here, which is really just around the corner.
Yeah,
so I really want to commend Charles on that.
No, I realize, Charles, you forgot to factor in the whole COVID pandemic thing. You started
that. Is that a little thing, right?
We're gonna overlook that for now, though, okay?
Charles, can I just add,
yes.
Paul and I sit on the executive steering committee once a month, and, you know, even though it does get a little bit contentious, I've really been impressed with Kayenta, and really they've stepped up from a perspective of they know that their resources might be light in certain areas, but I think they've really done a good job of stepping up and listening to the needs of the district. And just gets a little hairy around this time, but I feel confident that we're going to have a really good product at the end, and we're not compromising our training or anything else that we need to make sure is on track so that our customer service reps can serve our customers to the best of their ability.
Yeah. Good point. Thank you, Paul, and thank you, Laura. Okay, so we'll move on to talk about the project budget. This is a table that you're all familiar with, so it represents the various components that make up our the budget. And you'll see that the actual spend to date, well, as of the middle of March, just over $10 million remaining to be spent through the balance of the project, $7.3 million. This is another representation of the budget, and as we've reported in previous updates, the project, overall project, is trending under budget, partly because of COVID, or rather the consultants not traveling due to COVID. And also worth noting, you know, the contract that we have in place with the vendor is set up in such that we do not pay them until they deliver on agreed deliverables, and our staff has reviewed it and approved it. So some of that is contributing to the variance that you're seeing here. So mobile work management. So as Dan mentioned, the last update that we provided, we did talk about the EMWD My Account customer portal. And so today we wanted to highlight the other system that's been implemented through this project, which is a mobile work management system, or MWM. By way of background, this system is called Clevest, or Clevest, some have referred to it. And so using the system, we'll have seamless management of service orders, such as small meter leak repairs and investigations, door hanging delivery, service disconnect and activations, and new meter installations. One of the neat things that we're excited about with this system is it will have real-time integration to the billing system as well as the My Account customer portal. And in the coming slides, I'll talk a little bit about that. But before we get there, let's talk a little bit about what the current state looks like. So this is one of the meter service technicians' desk at the beginning of their day. So they'll come in, and this is the work that's dished out to them. These are all the service orders that they have to complete. And yes, that is a Thomas guide that you were seeing.
I was going to say, do they make those anymore?
Yes, Paul, that is a Thomas guide. For some of those less visited areas of our service area, you know, they do thumb through the Thomas guide and try to understand how do I get there.
I just ask, where do you find Thomas guide?
Yeah. The National Archives.
I have a 1986 version under the pickup truck if you'd like that.
There you go.
Sorry,
No, you're totally fine. I mean, it demonstrates what the team has to deal with today. And without saying, I mean, it's a manual process that obviously lacks integration into the billing system. So our future, this is what our future looks like. This is the dispatch view of the CLEVES system. I'll draw your attention to the left side of the screen. Routine service orders will be routed automatically and assigned to the various technicians. So when they come in, they just pick up their device, and all of those service orders are assigned to them already, eliminating all the paper shuffling that you just saw in the previous slide. Draw your attention to the top side of the screen. From a dispatch or a supervisor view, they can easily identify the various service orders that have been assigned. And you'll note that the green icons, it's hard to see, but those are little houses on that green icon. So they can see that those are all the service orders that need to be completed for that day. And then the last piece on here is the ability to reassign service orders based on severity. So as an example, if a customer calls in or requests using their My Account customer portal that there's water coming out of their meter box, right? So that is tagged as a high priority service order. From this system, we can quickly see where is our location and who is closest to it and reassign that service order to that technician so that we can respond quickly to that service order. So for the folks that are out in the field, they'll be using iPads replacing their laptops, and they can easily access the system, from their trucks or, out in the field. And all the pertinent information is listed is available to them using this system. So in this example, you probably can't see it, but the customer reported that there was a leak in the meter box, so they can quickly see that and know that when they get to this location, that's what they'll be addressing. The customer name, their address, phone number is also available in case they need to call the customer. Even their amount due is on here if that does come up in discussion. So again, that's made possible because of the real-time integration to the billing system. Also from a safety perspective, the technician can see, the meter service tech can see that there's a safety alert on here. So if a customer has an aggressive dog, for example, the technician will approach with caution, and they'll be able to see that, as you can see on the screen here. And then finally, from a customer perspective, I think this is probably one of the things that I'm really excited about, because we do get calls from time to time, customers saying, hey, I see there's someone on property, working on the meter. Is that an EMWD person? Because of the integration to the My Account customer portal, a customer can see that there's a technician that's en route to their property if there's a service order there. When they do get on site, they'll see that the technician is on site. And when the service order is completed, it will have a complete disposition with the outcome of that service order. So, again, it eliminates the worry, if you will, is this an actual EMWD employee? So we're really excited about that. And then finally, looking ahead, so we'll be executing that bill-to-bill comparison that I talked about earlier. We also want to make sure that we can stress test the system, so we'll have multiple users log into the system and perform various tasks so that we can make sure that it's performing to optimal performance. Then we will also begin the third cycle of testing, ITC3, and then it's hard to believe that we're here already. We'll be starting end-user training, and that will go all the way through go-live sometime June, July, as Dan mentioned. So with that, that concludes our report this morning. Happy to answer any questions that you have.
I have no questions.
No. Again, great job. I know there are challenges. I know we get, as Paul pointed out, we are not that far off track considering all that we've done, the COVID, et cetera. So I'm still going to be excited to go that one day that you come and tell us that we are going live and that people can get the information that I think they're entitled to, that we, you know, want them to have with tiered rates, and that they can monitor their water service. And the other exciting part is our employees, and what you just showed us and demonstrated is going to make their daily routine a little less challenging. So
yes, sir.
I will be curious to where we put the Thomas guides in the archives, though.
We'll come back with that update the next time.
Yes. Director Record, did you have any comments or questions on this particular item?
No, good presentation and good progress. Thank you.
Thank you, sirs.
Very good. Thank you, sir. With that, we'll go to item 6, which is to receive and file a number of our routine reports, and I'll go ahead and make the motion on that.
Second.
It's seconded by Director Slauson. If I could get a roll call, please.
Director Pauley?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Passes 4-0 with Director Corona absent. With that, we will go to our calendar review.
Good morning, President Pauley, members of the board. I am pleased to present one new event this morning. Attached as page 5 to your report is the invitation to the next Riverside County Water Task Force meeting. It will be held on Friday, April 23rd at 7:30 a.m., and the topic is investing in resilience.
Okay.
All right, I'll go.
Thank you, Director Slauson.
So yes, put me down for that, too.
Thank you, President Pauley.
Well, I won't go. I'll attend, though.
Yes, it is virtual. Thank you. Moving to page 2, we have the board's master calendar for April 7th through the 21st. Beginning with Director Pauley's calendar this afternoon, we have a ratings agency presentation prep meeting at 4 p.m. On Thursday, April 8th, Director Slauson has an update with the general manager at 7:30 a.m.
Director Slauson, I'm going to need to defer that meeting and reschedule.
Oh, sure.
I had something I have to take care of in the morning. I apologize for late notice.
Okay, so we'll be in contact to reschedule. And Thursday, April 8th as well, we have the Joint Inland and Orange County Caucuses at 11:30 a.m. for Director Record's calendar. We have the EMWD presentation to the Moreno Valley Chamber Military Affairs Committee at noon on Director Slauson's calendar. And the Board Planning Committee meeting is scheduled for 3:30 p.m. tomorrow, and that's for Directors Corona and Record. On Friday, April 9th, we have the Southern California Water Coalition Executive Committee meeting at 10 a.m. on Director Pauley's calendar. Monday, April 12th, and Tuesday, April 13th, we have the Metropolitan Water District Committee and Board meetings. Director Record's calendar.
Yeah, Nicole, also, if you could add, on the 14th and the 15th, we will be doing MWD General Manager interviews. So that whole week is going to be pretty much Metropolitan for me.
Okay, thank you, Director Record. I'll update your calendar to note it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. On Tuesday, April 13th and Wednesday, April 14th, we have the virtual legislative meetings, Director Pauley's calendar.
Correct.
Tuesday, April 13th, we have the joint interagency meeting with Elsinore Valley Water District at 3:30 p.m. for Directors Armstrong and Corona. Thursday, April 15th, we have the Board Executive Committee meeting at 7:30 a.m. So we'll look to reschedule if needed for Director Record's calendar.
Well, I don't think our interviews will start that early, so let's leave it at 7:30 for now.
Okay.
Thank you, Director Record.
I'll let you know when I get the schedule.
Okay, thank you. Friday, April 16th at 9:30 a.m., we have a rating agency meeting. Director Pauly?
Correct.
Monday, April 9th, the Cal-DSAL Executive Committee meeting is scheduled at 11 a.m. for Director Pauly as well.
Correct.
And finally, Tuesday, April 20th at 9:30 a.m., the SAPA Commission meeting is scheduled for Director Slauson's calendar. On the following pages, we have the board's upcoming meetings, the committee meetings, and interagency meetings. Are there any changes or questions on the calendar?
Have none.
Thank you. That concludes my report.
Nicole, as always, great job. We will now move to directors' attendance reports for meetings outside the EMWD agencies. We'll start with Director Armstrong, please.
Okay. I attended two AQUA sort of DC virtual conference sessions. One was on the regulatory landscape. The other one was on sort of an update from the administration's leadership of various departments. I think from the administration leadership side, it was, and we had the Bureau of Reclamation, Department of Ag, EPA, and some others, and I think the theme there is just, you know, they're all still working from home, all waiting to get to their offices in D.C., but we'll be focusing on the priorities of the Biden-Harris administration, and climate change was something that they mentioned a lot. And then on the regulatory landscape, I know that Eastern staff was on that call. Jolene had some questions. So I know staff is up to speed on all those issues, but, you know, it was PFAS, PFOA, Clean Water Act, that kind of stuff. On April 2nd, I went to the Myriad Temecula Group meeting, and was a presentation by the general manager from the new general manager from Rancho, and the general manager from Elsinore Valley on updates, what's happening with each of those two agencies. I attended a meeting with staff with Supervisor Jeffries, and thought, of course, staff did a great job. One item of interest with Supervisor Jeffries is there's going to be some federal money for the county, and some of it needs to be used for water, wastewater type of infrastructure, and he wants to focus on a little piece of his supervisorial district that's in our district, Good Hope area, and finding ways to maybe improve safety, fire safety, fire flow, or really hydrants, and maybe some opportunities to improve infrastructure for economic development. So that was an opportunity for us to maybe partner, accelerate a few things that's already on our books. And then, of course, our general manager did a good job of lobbying for don't forget about the late fees, and don't forget about us water districts. So we need some help with those, too. So thought that went well. Not sure he was so open to it, but I'm not sure he fully understood the pot of money it was going to come from. So, and then what else is on here? I wanted to thank Laura and John. I had an opportunity to meet with them and discuss the budget and the rates, and I got a much greater understanding of the process that they go through in developing the budgets and setting the rates, and had a chance to just share some of my own personal thoughts about it as well. But appreciated the time you guys took with me to go through that. So thank
you. We took a lot of what you had into consideration, and we'll be bringing back some items.
Great. Thanks.
Very good. Thank you so much. Again, Director Corona is absent today. I'll report my meetings. Had a good meeting, as usual, with the joint EMWD Western Water District. Director Denstedt and Director Torres joined us for that. Always a good briefing by our staff, who I think leads a lot of those meetings on various regional items important to both MET member agencies. I participated in EMWD legislative meetings. I was able to participate with State Senator Rosalisa Ochoa-Bogue, where we updated her on Eastern. She is new in the legislature, so I think it was good to give her a briefing on Eastern. I also participated in a meeting with Assemblyman Mays. It was a very good meeting. Assemblyman Mays, a good friend of this district. In fact, he was multitasking with another issue involving his university, alma mater, Liberty University, at the time we met with him, but he did a great job anyway. Had a good meeting with April Cody on some of the issues coming up in the public affairs and government affairs arena. She always has some good ideas, especially on social media posts and other things that her and I like to collaborate along with. Well 59 event, we had a ribbon cutting with the Air Force at Well 59, and Joe was there. Joe was very helpful to me in getting me there. But yeah, it was good, a good little photo op. Thank you guys for arranging that. The general manager was there. We have some officials from the Air Force, and I think they were very appreciative of what we'd done, and good to see that a success. Western Riverside Economic Development Corporation, I participated in that through WRCOG. Again, this is an ongoing discussion of if we should form our own economic development corporation, getting a lot of good ideas. We had some people on from Brookings Institute, et cetera. More to come on that. WRCOG Executive Committee had a long closed session on that regarding the PACE program, which a closed session. But we also had an open session on some other issues, regular issues of WRCOG. And I might have more to say on that in closed session today. So with that, Director Record.
Thank you, President Pauly. I did not participate in either the Diamond Valley Lake meeting or the EMWD Rancho California Water District Ad Hoc Committee meeting. I did participate in the Special Executive Committee meeting that met on April 5th, which was kind of the first in starting to review candidates for the general manager position.
Very good. Thank you, Director Slauson.
Yes, I attended the joint committee meeting with Western Municipal Water District, and we discussed interests that we have in common. Those are always good to keep those communications going. Attended the Marina Valley Chamber of Commerce Wake Up monthly meeting, and Kevin and Alma did the presentations. We were the actual sponsor that day. I attended the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce on the 2nd, and the guest speaker was an RCC therapist discussing stress management and mental health. But we had a presentation. Consuelo and Alma gave those. I attended SAPA yesterday. We discussed the budget, cloud seeding. We approved a pilot program and discussed disposition of some SAPA properties. That's it.
Very good. That will bring us to director's comments or future agenda items. Does any director have a closing comment or item for a future agenda? Seeing none, I will ask legal counsel if there's a need for closed session today.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, there is. We'll have a closed session as identified in items 9, A, B, and C.
Very good. So let's go ahead and take about 5 minutes here to switch over to our closed session. I'd like our legal counsel to report out the closed session action items.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The board met in closed session as identified on item 9A of the agenda. Item 9 of the agenda. On item 9A, the board met pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9 to discuss potential litigation, 19 different matters. No formal action was taken. The board also met under Section 9B to discuss existing litigation, Henderson versus Eastern Municipal Water District. After discussion, the board gave instruction to staff and special and district counsel. The board also met pursuant to item 9C, the general manager recruitment update. The board gave instruction to staff. No formal action was taken at this point. That concludes my closed session report.
Very good. Thank you so much. With that, we will adjourn today's meeting and reconvene at 9 a.m. on April 21st.